experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and, you know, as I always say, we got one heck of a show lined up for you today. First off, calling in a couple of minutes, IndyCar legend Paul Tracy, need I say more, made his Stadium Super Trucks debut in Toronto in his hometown about a week or so back, and we're going to have him on air talking about the experience of racing off-road trucks, a big off-road enthusiast on the side, and probably get into a little Indy racing and just motorsports in general. Later on in the show, we've got Oscar Rodriguez calling in. Lucas Oil short course racer, also known, probably better known, as being the CEO of Lone Mart. And those of you familiar with Lone Mart know that, you know, not only do they back the Lucas Oil Series as a title sponsor, Corey Weller's under that umbrella. We've got Andrew Cadell under that umbrella. We've got, obviously, Oscar himself under that umbrella. I mean, you know, they sponsor the Speed Freaks radio show. I mean, talk about a company that's knee-deep in, you know, in off-road racing and action motorsports. Got to be, you know, really exciting to talk to Oscar, the man behind this entire brand, and, you know, and get a feel for what, you know, for what their vision is. And, you know, not a lot of corporations jump, you know, feet first into off-road, whether it be short course, desert, or, you know, even talking rally. And it's going to be exciting to get his viewpoint. But it looks like we've got none other than Paul Tracy calling in right now. So let's see if we can get Paul on the line. How's everything going, Paul?
I'm good. How's it going?
Pretty good. Well, you know, let's talk first off. You know, we haven't seen you in a car in a while, and then all of a sudden you pop up in Robbie Stadium Super Truck Series in your hometown, Toronto. Had to be pretty exciting for you racing in front of a lot of your fans.
Well, it was definitely exciting, and I want to thank Robbie for that opportunity. Obviously, it kind of happened last minute. I was doing TV up there, and Robbie had called me the week of the race and said, hey, I'm racing up there. I just got a deal to put together to run my trucks. Do you want to drive a truck? And I said, sure. And then, you know, I started looking at the schedule of when the race was, and lo and behold, the race was right in the middle of my live pre-show that we have for the IndyCar races in Canada. So I didn't get to race on Saturday. I got, you know, three laps of practice on Friday and then missed the race Saturday. And then the TV show let me – we hooked up some live cameras in the truck for Sunday and broadcast it on the internet version of the show live. So Sunday was the only opportunity I got to get in the truck, and, man, it was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, you know, something like this, you know, you get kind of got a taste of it. You think, you know, you try and make an appearance here or there, maybe the remainder of the series and see how things go?
Well, we'll see. I mean, Robbie's, you know, he's, you know, I think he's canceled a couple of races that are going, that were supposed to be stadium stuff. I think he's in some talks with the IndyCar series about doing another one of these street events at the Houston Grand Prix. And, if that happens, I will definitely try to get my name in the hat to be in that, because I think it's a home run for Robbie. Obviously, it's, you put yourself in front of a totally different set of eyeballs than what would typically go to a core race or a Lucas race or a torque race or anything like that. You know, what he was trying to do, you're basically drawing from that same crowd in the stadium stuff. And I think for Robbie to put himself in front of a crowd that's coming for an IndyCar race and doing his races, you know, half an hour before the start of the Grand Prix, I mean, the people were just going crazy. They had never seen anything like this before because they're not really off-road people. So I think he made a lot of fans this last weekend and at Long Beach. I think he realized this is a good opportunity for him to put himself into a whole new venue.
Well, I agree, and you know, and we've talked a lot on this show about it, and you having you know the background in motorsports that you do. I mean, you know, you've raced just about every you know major North American series, and you know, it seems like nowadays it's more with racing. You know, whereas you know, say 10, 15 years ago, a race could stand on its own. Now it's almost become like an event atmosphere. You know, and I know Long Beach has done it for a long time, but it seems like a lot of these other venues are catching on, and it's more than one race. You know, and there's bands and there's concerts and it's all going into, you know, it's not just the race now. It's an entire, you know, event.
Well, it really has to be to get the people off the couch and get them to come down and spend their money. You have to offer people more than just a bunch of race cars going around the track. So, you know, a lot of the tracks do a great job with that. You know, some of them are challenged with logistics of where they are. And, you know, but the race in Toronto is right in downtown. They have, you know, stages set up for bands, and obviously bringing Robbie's deal in was, they thought it was a great success. So, you know, I think there was a great opportunity for Robbie to, you know, do some of these street events and, like I said, put himself in front of a different audience than the regular audience he's trying to capture.
Well, you know, let's talk about your open wheel career for a little bit. I mean, not many people can say they've run for Penske, Newman Haas, Green, Forsyth. I mean, you know, you've run with, you know, the most elite level teams. You know, obviously you've got a Champ Car Championship under your belt. You know, any chance we're going to see you, you know, in an Indy car again?
Well, probably not. I mean, like you said, I've driven for, you know, most all the great teams that were in the paddock. You know, and had a great career, had a 25-year career. And, you know, when I started, I never thought it would go that long. I was just hoping I could get a chance to race and got my first race at Long Beach with Dale Coyne. And then my first win was at Long Beach with Penske. And then, you know, that went on to a great career and a championship. And I'm just at the point now where, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, none of those teams are the big teams now that are winning races or looking for Paul Tracy. So I'm really, you know, it's just the fact of the matter is, you know, you're forced to run in with teams that are smaller and don't have the level of equipment and you're just out there struggling around. And it's just something that I don't want to do. I'd rather, you know, do other stuff. I've got some TV stuff going on and, you know, my life's busy enough to keep myself occupied and not have to go out there and race around. I don't want to run around in the back of the pack and come home all pissed off for no reason.
Well, you know, in talking about your career, I mean, you know, you've done everything. I mean, you've even tested Formula One cars in the past. I mean, anything that really stands out, you know, in your career is just one of those just milestone events that you look back on and just like, wow, you know?
Well, like I said, I mean, like I never thought my career would be as long and have the amount of wins that I had throughout my career. And I've been, you know, I've been lucky to be on great teams and have a lot of support and, you know, great sponsors along the way. And I mean, it's a whole team effort. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, it was great. So, you know, I'm happy with where I'm at and, you know, doing some TV stuff and you know, like to play around a little bit with off-road stuff and just enjoying, you know, kind of being in half retirement.
Well, and I know, you know, speaking of off-road, obviously, you know, we know you've got the play buggies and stuff like that, and you enjoy off-road as much as anybody. You know, I know your buddies with Robbie, and, you know, he's got the trophy trucks and everything else. You know, ever had any thought of jumping into maybe a trophy truck or a Class 1 car here or there out in the desert just to give it a whirl?
Well, I have one story of a time that I was supposed to get in a trophy truck and do a race with a guy in Prim, which was like an 8 mile kind of or 8 or 10 mile short course style race that was only supposed to be a couple of hours. It was like 100 miles or something. And Cameron Steele set it up for me. This is probably going back about 6-7 years now. And he set it up with a guy. I'll not name names, but I met the guy out at Prim and said, hey, he said you can drive my trophy truck in this race and just have some fun. So I said, okay, well, meet me out there at like 6 in the morning, and then I go out there. And he says, okay, let's go down the road, and we'll before the race starts, I'll let you drive this thing, and we'll, you know, you'll get used to it, and then we'll do the race. I said, okay. So he jumps in the truck, and I get in the passenger seat, and we take off, and we didn't get, you know, he's flying in this thing, through the whoops. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, we're going a little quick. I don't know much about this, but I think we're going a little faster than we should go. And we get about probably 5-6 miles away from his truck where he parked it. And next thing I know, we're going end over end, cartwheeling. And we ended up upside down. And long story short, that was the end of the day. I didn't get to drive the truck, and I didn't get to do the race.
Oh, yeah. That, talk about a buzzkill, huh?
Yeah. So that was the last time I, you know, attempted to drive a trophy truck. But I'd love to, man. I was, you know, I've always, I like going out to the sand dunes and messing around with the sand cars. And then, you know, I've done a off-road race, a Pro 4 race once, which was, you know, about 5-6 years ago now. And then doing, you know, Robbie's race this last weekend just kind of ignited that little fire again of wanting to do more of that.
Yeah, well, let's you know, skip back and talk about open wheel racing, you know, in the United States right now. And you know, I want your opinion on a couple things, and we've talked about it quite a bit on the show actually. You know, one, I mean, you know, we've got open wheel in the United States, and you know, what do you see? You know, I know that you know, IndyCar, they've hired all these people to come in and tell them what's wrong and you know why they're not getting the ratings and this and that. I mean, you know, you've always been one to you know have your opinions. I mean, what you know, what do you think? I mean, IndyCar, I mean, it's got some of the best racing on the planet right now, but you know, we just don't have the eyeballs. What do you think they could do to change that?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question that nobody seems to be able to answer. Obviously, you know, I'm in agreement with most people is that the racing is good, the competition level is good, you know, the on-track stuff is good. You know, my only gripe with it is, you know, I think cars are not as attractive as what they should be, and I think that's a gripe generally across the board with people. Whether it be the old NASCAR car of tomorrow, people thought the car was ugly and didn't like the looks of it. They changed the look, and now people like the look of that car. I just think this new car, I think they just missed the mark a little bit on the styling of it. I thought it could have been a little prettier looking, but it is what it is. And you know, but I'm not a marketing major, but for whatever reason, they just IndyCar has not been able to attract a younger audience, and they need to, you know, somehow figure out what the way is to do that, to bring a younger crowd into the races.
Well, and some of these young drivers coming up, I mean, you know, I've been there, and, you know, obviously you've been there, and you got the brakes. I mean, you know, if you have one tip to give some of these young drivers that are trying to break through into the next level, I mean, you know, any advice for them? We've actually had some call in, and, you know, and we've had this discussion before, but, you know, what bit of advice would you give a 16, 17-year-old kid that's, you know, that's got some wins, but he's trying to make it to that next level?
Well, I mean, you just got to continue to win. I mean, if you're a guy like, you know, the only example really that I can give is a guy like A.J. Allmendinger. You know, he's a young California kid, and he made it all the way to the top level. And, you know, his family does not have any money. His father is a carpet layer. His mom is a stay-at-home mom. You know, they don't come from a lot of money. And, you know, the problem with motorsports now is it's a huge money-driven sport, and you know there's a lot of young good drivers, you know, that have family money that make it. But if you don't have the money, you've just got to win races, and that's the bottom line. To get seen and get people watching you, you got to be fast, and you got to win. And if you're good, you'll make it.
Well, and I know, you know, in the past you've, you know, and speaking of AJ, I mean, you know, he came up through the shifter kart ranks, and, you know, I know you've been a big supporter of kart racing here in the United States. I mean, you still believer in that model? I mean, you know, that the skills that you learn in say a shifter kart, I mean, definitely transfer over really well to when you make the crossover to, you know, to open wheel cars.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think if you're wanting to be a race driver, and you know, the only way to go about it is to be in a race in a kart, or start in a kart and then go from there. And if you're going to make it, I mean, I started racing when I was 5 years old, and you kind of have to have that base of close quarter racing that you get from
starting when you're 5, 6, 7 years old in carts and then working your way up through the ranks. That's, you know, you don't become a hockey player by playing baseball, or you don't become a football player by playing basketball. So, you know, if you want to get into racing, you got to start at the bottom and work your way to the top.
Agreed. Totally agree. You know, that's a great analogy with the hockey and baseball. You know, what's the rest of 2013 hold for Paul Tracy? Obviously, you know, going to try and step back into Stadium Super Truck if they run a you know, a road course event. You've got your TV work. Anything else on the horizon?
Well, I was supposed to run Indy, the Grand Am race this weekend, but it got canceled. The guy I drive with tore his bicep, so that was kind of a bummer. Next week I have a planned trip to Sturgis, kind of a guy's trip on the Harleys. And then, you know, maybe a Grand Am race later in the season when my co-driver's arm gets back in shape. We might hit Laguna or somewhere like that. And then, you know, my plan really is to try to focus on putting together a program for next year in Grand Am and be at 24 hours.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time on air with us today and, you know, hope to see you out at some of the races a little bit more often.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, Paul.
All right.
That was Paul Tracy. I mean, geez, need we say more? I mean, you know, former Champ Car champion. I consider him an Indy 500 champion. Those of you that have followed the Indy 500 for numerous, for the past 15, 20 years, you know about his second place finish there and what I call, you know, there's all kinds of words for it. So, you know, you can go back and see the YouTube videos, but I consider Paul an Indy 500 champion. Just great to talk with him. I mean, obviously still active in motorsports. You know, ran Stadium Super Trucks in Toronto a couple weeks back and, you know, he's still running the Grand Am stuff and, you know, great to see him out on the track and definitely one of, you know, past 20 years, you look at, you look at race car drivers, probably one of the most successful. I mean, you know, he's got, I can't even, start to count up the wins that he's gotten. I mean, you know, he's run Champ Car, he's run Indy Car, you know, the NASCAR Busch Series, Craftsman Truck, Grand Am. I mean, he's tested Formula One cars. It's, you know, the list goes on about, you know, the different disciplines he's tried and just a hell of a race car driver all around. And, you know, great to see him still active and still out there. And, gosh, I would hope to see him some more Stadium Super Truck races. I think he brings an interesting dynamic, especially these road courses. And now that he's got a race under his belt, I think it's going to be exciting, you know, to see what else, you know, what he can do with, you know, with some more seat time in those trucks. And, you know, you talk to anybody that's driven them and they say, you know, that's the thing about those trucks. They're not easy to drive. It's not like you step in there and, you know, it's simple to wheel those things. I think it, you know, it takes a certain style of driving and something to get accustomed to. And, you know, I think, you know, number one, a lot of guys aren't used to using a handbrake, you know, and, you know, even, you know, these road course guys that come over and, you know, jump into one of these trucks and be the same with a global rallycross car, they just don't understand about the handbrake. I mean, because, you know, losing traction in road racing is, you know, it's a big no-no. You don't want to do that. You know, rear wheel spin and, you know, that you're losing time, seconds every time that happens. You know, when the rear tires break loose and say in an Indy car, they break loose and you're done. You're in the wall. You know, but with a Stadium Super Truck or, you know, global rallycross car for that matter, you know, to get them around a corner, a lot of times it takes breaking the rear wheels loose. And I think that's been one of the big challenges for a lot of these pavement races that have come over into Stadium Super Trucks is they just you know, it's changing everything you've known, you know, the entire, you know, every technique you've been taught as a driver, as a road racer goes out the window with a Stadium Super Truck. And, you know, I think that's what's been tough for them. And you take a guy like, say, Robbie or Justin Lofton, who have both the dirt background and the off-road background, and I think that's what's lended itself to them, you know, and made this, you know, made the transition a lot easier. And I think you've seen by the results that, you know, that it's really benefited them. And, you know, and then you've got guys like Sheldon Creed and Rob McCracken who are just animals, and, you know, they can drive anything. I think you put him in a Model T in a drag race and somehow they'd figure out a way to win. It's just, you know, they're just talented. So, yeah, great having Paul on air. And, you know, just really, you know, just for me, I mean, this is a guy that I've looked up to and, you know, just as a race car driver, I mean, you know, he's just been phenomenal. And like we talked about, I mean, top level teams, you know, Penske, Newman Haas, Forsyth, Team Green. I mean, you know, everybody remembers the Team Green cars and, you know, and obviously, you know, the cool cigarettes backing, but the Team Cool Green and, you know, that was just, they had that metallic green paint scheme. And, you know, as a kid, you just see that, you know, go by and, you know, the lights of the night races and, you know, the sun glaring, you see the sparkles and it was just like, wow. I mean, you know, it just took, you know, everybody wanted, you know, that was the car that everybody wanted hanging on their bedroom wall, you know, when I was a kid. And, you know, that was, you know, just kind of cool to have him on air. But, man, we got a lot to talk about today. We got Oscar Rodriguez from Lone Mark calling in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk to him about Lucas Oil and how Lone Mark's got involved in off-road racing. Kind of a unique story. And I've got some big Vegas Torino sponsor announcements we're going to make after the break. But till then, I do want to make a big announcement that our guest next week, we're rolling into X Games hard. We're getting ready for you know, X Games LA, you know, we've got all these global X Games now. This is the big one, though. The one in the United States, it's the biggest. Don't fool yourself. I mean, this is the one that brought Sebastian Loeb to the GRC last year. You know, it's a big one. And very happy to announce that our guest next week, or at least one of our guests, is going to be none other than Mr. Ken Block. So really pulling out the big guns with Mr. Hoonigan himself, Ken Block, next week on air. Really excited. It's about 8-9 months we've had Ken on air, and should be exciting to catch up with him. And, you know, he's got New England Forest Rally coming up. He's had GRC Bristol, and we've got that new event, Gymkhana Grid, coming to X Games, so that would be really cool to catch up with him. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to have Oscar Rodriguez on air at the top of the hour, so stay tuned.
Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are HANS compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe. KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the full carbon fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com.
Imagine shredding the water on your wakeboard without a boat. Announcing Wakeboard Island at Blue Water Resort and Casino, where boarders can rip it up skate park style using a two-tower cable system providing a pull. At Wakeboard Island, there's no boats, no exhaust fumes, and inside the Blue Water Marina Complex, so no boat traffic for all skill levels from smooth water beginners to jumps and rails for the hardcore. Wakeboard Island, the coolest ride on the Parker Strip, adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina, and coming soon to Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and we just got done with An awesome interview with Paul Tracy, you know, making his debut in Stadium Super Trucks a couple of weeks ago and staying busy behind, you know, behind the TV camera and or in front of the TV camera, I should say, and, you know, doing some Grand Am racing and, yeah, you know, hoping to see him out at some more Stadium Super Trucks events. And I do want to mention, you know, speaking of Speed Energy Drink, I don't know how many of you have skipped over to speedenergy.com lately, but they just launched, obviously they've had an apparel line for quite some time, but just launched a new Speed Style apparel line. Got some really cool t-shirts, stuff for the men and the ladies this go around. New line of hats, hoodies, the whole works. So skip on over there and check it out. And really excited to see him go all in with you know, with a kids apparel line and the ladies apparel line. Something to make everybody happy. It's at speedenergy.com. Also wanted to mention, man, while we were waiting for Oscar to call in here, any of you pick up the ESPN Bodies magazine? Just hit newsstands in the past week. I know we've, you know, it's been talked about on Twitter and Instagram like crazy, but two of the ones that we'll get to talking about the bodies here in a minute. But looks like we've got Oscar calling in, so let's see if we can pick him up. How you doing, Oscar?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How's everything been on your end? You're a busy man.
It's a circuit. It's a carnival.
Nice.
Something always going on.
I understand. You know, it's that's what I've always said about my life. You know, if you could put a fence around me and charge admission, you know, it'd be like getting people into the circus.
It is pretty nutty. A great interview, by the way, of Paul Tracy.
Well, thanks.
Very
you know,
nice.
It's exciting. What's that?
No, it's exciting to see him on, you know, SST and anything having to do with off-road. So it's great to see other people from other, you know, what do you call it? Vehicles.
Different forms of motorsport.
Yeah, and so it's pretty exciting. And he did great. I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a driver, period, but let alone to be able to get into an SST truck and do as well as he did is not an easy thing to do. Most people just see, you know, somebody jumping around, and they think it's easy, but psychologically, and it takes a lot.
Well,
it's pretty
think,
awesome.
You know, and I think that's what's great about, you know, Lucas and Stadium Super Trucks is how well they lend themselves to, you know, to the, you know, guys like Paul coming in. I mean, you know, the huge built-in fan base. You know, you've got the great television packages, and you know, and it makes somebody like that you know that has a little bit of sponsorship money. You know, they can come in and you know, and bring their fan base with them, and you know, it makes a nice outlet for them to do a few of these races once a year, once or twice a year.
Yeah, I think for the long-term benefit to, you know, short course and off-road in general, I think it's great. I mean, to getting, you know, people like Vassar and Paul Tracy in a truck is just spectacular. So I'm glad to see them in them, and hopefully there'll be other people to highlight what an exciting sport we're in.
But I totally agree. You know, guys like that, you know, they could, you know, we both know that they've got money. So they, you know, they very well could just be sitting on their couch and watching stuff on TV and they choose to come out and, you know, and run off-road trucks. And I think that's exciting to me because they're choosing to be out there because, you know, it's not like they have to be.
To be in an off-road truck, there is nothing in the world like it. I mean, it's my analogy, it's like being in the, you know, the running of the bulls. Because you better have pin it or get out of the way because you're going to get run over. It's so much fun. It's just a constant shot of adrenaline for half an hour, at least for a short course, it's half an hour. It's absolutely amazing. And some of the people in our sport at Lucas make it very, you know, they make it look easy, you know. You have R.J. Anderson and Ryan Beat and Casey Curry and, you know, all those guys, they make it look like they're going to go out and buy milk, you know, on a Sunday, but it's chaos. I mean, and you have to be at the top of your game and you have to be patient and have a lot of seat time.
Well, you know, let's talk about you and Lone Mart for a minute because, you know, you've got this interesting dynamic. You know, one, you're CEO of Lone Mart who has stepped into off-road racing. I mean, huge. I mean, you're a Lucas Oil Series backer. I mean, you know, obviously you race yourself. I mean, you know, you've got Corey Weller that you sponsor. You've got numerous racers. I mean, you know, you as a CEO, how did you get involved in off-road racing? And then how did you, you know, get the itch to jump in a truck?
Well, I was kind of like the perfect sucker for it because when I was a little kid, I grew up in Monterey Park, California, just a working class neighborhood. When I was a little kid, and my friends were watching baseball or basketball or football, I was watching, you know, NASCAR and open wheel and rally, and I was watching off-road. I mean, Baja 500, Baja 1000. Those are the things that really, you know, got me excited as a little kid, and I couldn't even dream of ever. It's not even it was like a dream. It was not even a dream to be able to get into any one of those vehicles, and I had the opportunity to do it about 3 years ago, and as the saying goes, that it was I got the bug, and, you know, we started looking at the numbers for Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series, also known as Loras, and we, you know, we jumped in head first. And we have Austin Kimbrell driving the Pro 2, number 88. He's doing the truck is spectacular. He's a great driver, and you know, he's already had a podium this year. RJ Anderson is, I don't know, it seems like he's been podium about 50% of the time. The guy's spectacular and just the nicest guy in the world. And then we also have the beautiful Corey Weller driving the Pro 4. She's also, I think she's had two podiums or one podium this year, and we expect a lot from her this year. She's also very talented. And the other person that we also sponsor is Ryan Beat. So he's had a little, couple mechanical problems with this truck, but he'll be up on the top, on the podium soon. And then myself.
Yeah, can't forget about yourself.
Yeah,
well, you know,
it's easy to get somebody that's already a big fan of motorsports, you know, to join, because once you see the numbers, you know, the viewership for this sport is humongous, and it's rising, and it's still for those sponsors out there, it's still a very good value compared to some of the other motorsports. It's significantly cheaper than everything else. You know, when you consider it, you compare it to like NASCAR or open wheel. It's significantly cheaper. You know, cost per viewer, we'll call it, is significantly cheaper. Because of it, you know, going into the sport right now, I think is going to be a big value for any new, you know, company looking to come in and be a sponsor. And I do see with MAV TV and with the new channel that they have on DirecTV, I think that this, specifically Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing, I think in the next couple of years, probably 2 years, maybe 3 years, is really going to blow up. And it's going to be much more difficult to come in.
Well, you know, and I agree. And I know, you know, a company like you, you guys are based in the Southwest. It really makes sense with all the you know, races, you know, being here. But, you know, I know with Lucas's plans, you know, I think they've got a racetrack in Texas they're planning on building, and then one in, like, Missouri. I think, you know, the expansion is going to be great, you know, when it happens for all those already, you know, involved and invested in it.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. It's like the potential for this sport specifically is it's pretty amazing.
Well, let's talk about you and your race program. I mean, you know, Pro Light, I always say, you know, I don't want to say it doesn't get the respect it deserves, but, you know, it's in the shadow of Pro 2 and Pro 4, but you guys are pulling in 20 to 30 entries a race. I mean, it's not an easy division to compete in.
Yeah, I think that off the top of my head, the biggest, I don't know what you call it, stable of trucks that showed up one race weekend off the top of my head was, I think, 28. And if you see 28 trucks lined up, you know, one behind the other, it takes up about a third of the racetrack. It was insane. So much so that this coming race at Glen Helen, which is this Saturday and Sunday, 27th to 28th, actually, it's a little plug right there. They've cut it down, so they're only giving out 20 spots. So you now have to qualify because it was getting pretty nutty. So the top 20 trucks will qualify starting this weekend, and that means that there'll be about seven or eight trucks that are just going to be spectators. So that's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's really going to add another dynamic to what you guys have going on.
Yeah, I know I'm kind of split because I think that it's good that it's only 20 trucks. You know, it'll be 20 of the fastest trucks. But at the same time, there have been some of the fastest guys that have had little, you know, mechanical problems and have had to start in the back or close to the back, and that also made for very exciting racing. So, you know, there's pros and cons to both, but we'll see how it works out this coming weekend, Glen Helen, Saturday and Sunday. It's a night race. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's anybody that hasn't been there, or, you know, I think if you're in the Southern California area, you need to be there. But, you know, it also makes for great TV, you know, under the lights, and you get to see the metallic and the paint job sparkle. And, you know, being a gearhead, I get excited over stuff like that. So
yeah, and then because it's at night, the track keeps a lot of moisture. I raced there 2 weeks ago for a regional race because I wanted to see how it was driving at night, and I absolutely loved it. The track had a lot of bite, and it was nice and moist, and the visibility was pretty good. It wasn't 150 degrees inside the truck, so it was nice and cool. I actually really liked it. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to it. And I consider that my home track. I feel very confident in that track, so hopefully this weekend I'll do great. And then I have a secret weapon, which is I have a driving coach. You know, I'm the type of person, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it to the best of anybody's ability. And my wife gets mad because she says I'm just stubborn. But so I have Andrew Caudill as my coach, basically. So he's been coming down for the practices and, you know, telling me showing me how to, you know, get into the corners better, come out of the corners. Just everything, the jumping, just little things. And that's helped me tremendously. He's a great instructor. He's a spectacular driver. That's another one that makes it look very easy. Most of the drivers that I've talked to, when I ask them, what should I be doing, they keep telling me, just go faster, go faster. Where Andrew says, you know, you're going too fast into the turn. You know, you're getting too sideways. He's able to dissect it and break it down. Where it, you know, in English, where a person can actually understand it and make something out of it.
Yeah, well, and he's a great guy. I mean, you know, he teaches up there at Dirtfish Rally School. I mean, you know, how many torque championships in Pro Light does he have? I mean, he dominated back there for a couple of years, you know, and I think it's great to see him helping you out, and I think it's really going to pay dividends, you know, in the future for your race program.
Yeah, and I'm because unfortunately I have a day job. So I can't make every single race. The next race that unfortunately I'm not going to be able to make is the Reno race. So he's going to be driving my truck in Reno. So we're honored to have him drive the truck, and he's very excited to be in the truck. He did really, really well in Utah. And he's just forgetting the driving. He's just like the nicest guy in the world, just real down to earth. Just a nice guy, so we're really excited about it. He's excited about it, and putting him in our truck, hopefully we'll get somebody to, you know, get him a permanent ride. If we're working on something, but if it doesn't pan out with us, we do hope that the exposure will help him do that, because that's a person that needs to have his own permanent ride. You can't let that talent go to waste.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, it's tough seeing him on the sidelines, and I know, you know, he's getting the fill-in jobs. I mean, you know, you've called him. I mean, you know, Brian Deegan's called him. I mean, he's getting some opportunities, and like you said, I think it's only a matter of time before he finds a permanent home. At least, you know, he deserves it if anybody does.
Right. Just the nicest guy in the world. So we're pretty excited. So we're excited. We have, you know, we're supporting a great stable of drivers. You know, Lucas has been pretty good to us, and the return has been good. So we're, you know, we see ourselves doing this for, you know, the coming year. So we're pretty pumped up.
Well, and as for you, I mean, you happy staying put in Pro Light? You know, any ideas of jumping into a Pro 2 eventually, or are you pretty happy where you're at?
No, I'm ecstatic with the Pro Light. I was saying, I don't do things just, you know, half-ass. I want to do it and be great at it. So I see myself this year as just getting some seat time. I want to practice as much as humanly possible in the truck. So I become very comfortable in it. And then my goal is next year is to really, you know, make a big push so I can get to the, you know, end up in the top five in points. I would be ecstatic. It's not easy. It's not easy, you know, financially. It's not easy physically. It's not easy mentally to be, you know, driving that truck. You know, you drive off-road trucks. So, you know, when you're driving a car, you're on the ground and you're on the ground. When you're driving a truck and you're going, whatever, 70, 80 miles per hour and up in the air and you're 10 feet off the ground and the truck is at, you know, 45-degree angle and it's your first time being at that angle, you don't know if you're going to drive off or you're going to flip. Is the truck going to explode? So you kind of have to, you know, push the line a little bit every time you're, you know, going into a corner or jumping or in the rhythm section, and you just have to find out where the limits are of the truck, and that's what I've really been doing a lot this year, and I've been pushing the limits, and one time it bit back and I ended up flipping the truck, but that's not too bad. But that's my goal this year, is really to be in the truck a lot, get comfortable with it. I'm much more comfortable. I'm significantly faster than I was before. And with I'm saying Andrew as being my coach, but and he is my coach. But I've been, you know, I've gotten, you know, great tips from RJ. I've had great tips from and a lot of tips from Austin, from Corey, from Ryan Beat. So I'm really thankful that as being their sponsor, they've been very helpful in trying to help me improve my driving ability.
Yeah, you know, and talking about, you know, what you said, it's all about seat time. I know with my trophy truck, I mean, I've had the same truck since 07, and every single time I get in it, I learn something new about its capabilities or, you know, or going into a corner and how hard you can push it in a corner and what, you know, and how hard you can hit something. And like you said, I mean, you know, it's just repetition and seat time. And, you know, and the more you spend in the truck, the better off you're going to be.
Right. So that's my goal. That's what I've been doing, and that's what I want to do more of. If it was up to me, I'd do it. I would practice once a week. I absolutely love it, and, you know, it's great. I encourage, by the way, I do really want to encourage everyone to come down again this Saturday and Sunday to the Lone Mark Pits. Obviously, I will be there. We'll be giving out a bunch of stuff, shirts, hats, and a bunch of different tchotchkes. Austin Kimbrell will be there signing autographs. We'll have R.J. Anderson. Andrew Caudell will be there. So, you know, stop by, say hi, take a picture with us. We have a bunch of stuff to give away. And I hope to see everybody there, obviously, the Lone Mark Pits.
Well, and anybody that wants any more information on Lone Mark and what you guys, you know, some of the services you guys offer, where can they find out some more info?
That's a great question. I almost forgot to even talk about that, so thank you for bringing it up. First of all, Lone Mark is a subprime auto lender. We lend money to people with less than perfect credit. We're in California, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Missouri, and Illinois. If you are in need of cash quickly, you can give us a call, even though you may not have perfect credit. 85% of the people that qualify for a loan get the money the exact same day. That doesn't matter if it's Saturday or Sunday. We're open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week. If you call us, somebody will answer the phone. You're not going to get an answering machine. If you are not near us, if you're in Eureka, if you're in, I don't care where you're at, Parker, you're in Tucson, we have a way, a person, a method to get you the money the exact same day. Name one bank or one credit union that could do that. It's not going to happen. We will. We'll find a way. And for more information, you can contact, you can go to just loanmark.com. For more racing information, you could go to Facebook and look up Lone Mark Racing. For information on myself, you can go to Facebook and it's Racing CEO. And I didn't make that up. That would have been me, suck. I think you thought it was being funny.
Well, I think it fits you perfect, my friend, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on air and talking a little bit about yourself, your company, and appreciate everything that Lone Mart does to give back to the sport off-road. I think it's definitely benefited Lucas Oil and the sport as a whole, and look forward to seeing the rest of your season and maybe having you back on air sometime soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for giving me the time.
No problem.
Talk
Take it
soon.
Easy, Oscar, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, and see you guys Saturday.
All right, sounds good.
Bye-bye.
It was Oscar Rodriguez, CEO of Lone Mart, obviously a pro light racer in Lucas Oil, sponsors Corey Weller, Ryan Pete, RJ Anderson, Austin Cambrell. I mean, the list goes on, the stable that Lone Mart has put together of racers. I think it's really amazing. And, definitely, like I said, they've really involved in off-road racing and in Lucas Oil in particular. And, it's great when you can get a company or corporation like that, involved. I think it benefits everybody as a whole. So once again, thank Oscar for taking the time to come on air with us, and we'll definitely be watching to see how he does at Glen Helen at the night race this weekend. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk ESPN Bodies edition of the magazine. I've got some Vegas Torino sponsor announcements, and we're going to talk Torque, GRC, Formula D from Washington, Motocross from Washougal, and a little rumor, well, not a rumor, it's confirmed about a special driver that's going to be running in Torque this upcoming race. So you definitely want to stay tuned for that. Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Imagine shredding the water on your wakeboard without a boat. Announcing Wakeboard Island at Blue Water Resort and Casino, where boarders can rip it up skate park style using a two-tower cable system providing a pull. At Wakeboard Island, there's no boats, no exhaust fumes, and inside the Blue Water Marina Complex, so no boat traffic for all skill levels, from smooth water beginners to jumps and rails for the hardcore. Wakeboard Island, the coolest ride on the Parker Strip, adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina, and coming soon to Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. We just got done with Oscar Rodriguez, CEO of Lone Mart, and Lucas Oil Pro Light Racer on air. Earlier in the show, we had IndyCar legend Paul Tracy, who just made his Stadium Super Trucks debut. Talk about a heck of a show so far, and we're just getting started, man. We got 41 minutes left in the show, and trust me, we're going to use all 41 minutes. You got lots to cover. You heard over the break, Wakeboard Island, Blue Water Resort and Casino. I do want to make an announcement. Those of you who follow me on social media already know this, but they've signed on with a number 15 trophy truck. We're going to be carrying the Wakeboard Island banner at Vegas Torino. Very excited about that. Lots of stuff. We're going to be doing all kinds of online giveaways. Lots of activation around Wakeboard Island. You know, if you guys don't know about it yet, you need to check it out. They've got their own Instagram at Wakeboard Island. You can follow Blue Water Resort and Casino on Facebook and BlueWaterFun.com. Hit the link that shows Wakeboard Island. They've got videos, all kinds of stuff. It's the only wakeboard cable park in the state of Arizona. And let me tell you, I've had a blast down there hitting up the cable. You got ramps, rails, you name it. It's just a blast to be able to wakeboard and wake skate behind a cable and not a boat. Let me tell you, it's actually a little bit easier than behind a boat, but then you get all the ramps and rails in there and, you know, it causes havoc. But definitely need to hit it up, check them out. Very happy to have them on board with my race program, and you know, we're going to do some great things at Vegas to Reno, and they're also offering a discount. All you have to do is mention Vegas to Reno when you book your appointment at Wakeboard Island, and they're going to give you $10 off a 2-hour session. And I believe if you mention it, you also get a discount on wakeboard rentals, life jacket, helmet rentals, the whole works. So mention Vegas to Reno at Wakeboard Island, and you're going to save yourself a lot of money. So just a little tip from me to you, and hopefully you take advantage of it. Another sponsor that I'm very excited to have involved with my my race program / radio show here. You've been hearing the commercials, Race Tech Seats. They've come on board with the number 15 trophy truck. I wouldn't just say for Vegas to Reno. It looks like pretty long term here. But if you haven't checked out Race Tech Seats, racetech-usa.com, you need to check them out. I mean, these are the safest racing seats in the world. Some of the safest racing seats. I mean, the same seats that are in a lot of the NHRA drag racers. You know, you talk about rally cars. I mean, you know, V8 supercars. We had David Black from Race Tech on a couple weeks ago. You'll want to check back and hear that interview. I believe like every single V8 supercar in Australia except for one is running a Race Tech seat. I mean, we're talking about FIA approved seats that are you know, these things are just phenomenal. I mean, the way they bolt into the car become a structural piece of the chassis. You know, I've never seen anything like it, and I think you definitely need to check them out, racetech-usa.com, and you can also find them on Facebook at Racetech USA. But very excited to have, some of these people come on board and get involved with the number 15 trophy truck in my program. You know, I don't talk about myself very often on air, but, you know, I allow other people to come on air and announce their sponsors. So, hey, why can't I announce mine, right? So very excited to have, you know, everybody involved in my program that, you know, is got involved and everybody involved in this radio show that makes it happen. So thanks a lot. Getting back to ESPN, the bodies, this is the one issue of ESPN magazine I look forward to every year. You know, those of you that don't know about it, it's, you know, basically ESPN takes men and women athletes and strips them down naked. You know, but we're not talking Playboy style naked. I mean, conveniently covered in, you know, in the places that need to be covered to make it in a magazine and not have it with a black label behind the convenience store cash register that you got to be 18 or over to purchase. So, yeah, ESPN the bodies. You know, part of the reason why I like this is, you know, they get a lot of out-of-the-box athletes that you don't normally think about for this issue. And, you know, it's just about, you know, athletes' body types and what they do to train and fitness and stuff. And for me, like I said, I always look forward to, you know, to seeing who they put in the magazine because it's not the people that you would think they would put in the magazine. You know, I know in the past my good friend Jolene Van Butte, she's appeared in ESPN the bodies. This year, you know, a couple people, you know, that relevant to this show that I'm very excited about, Courtney Force, those of you that, you know, I'm sure you all know of her, you know, the funny car drag racer, John Force's daughter, and Tara Geiger, the, you know, the women's enduro cross racer, you know, multi-time women's motocross champion. She was in ESPN the bodies, and you know, I gotta say, it's gonna be on newsstands for a good month. My guess is they're gonna allow it longer than that just because it seems to sell a lot of copies. But, yeah, I mean, it's good articles. It talks about the fitness of athletes and everything else. It's definitely worth picking up. And I can tell you, if you walk into your local newsstand, it's going to jump out at you because you're going to have either Tara naked on a motorcycle, Courtney Force naked on the front cover, you name it. You know, they're going to be naked on the cover. It's going to jump right out at you, and you're going to go, oh, wow, that's what he's talking about. So definitely one to pick up. And, you know, if you get the time, hit ESPN up on social media and tell them thanks for putting some motorsports personalities in there, not sticking with the traditional stick and ball sports. I think that's pretty exciting that they do that. And, you know, some X Games athletes, snowboarders in there this year and everything else. I think that's very cool, and it's definitely worth picking up. So we talked about Torque. They had a big announcement. Loyal listeners, Gwen, she actually broke the news to me kind of after it had been announced, but she was the first person I heard it from, and I appreciate her for giving me the heads up. But Ricky Carmichael, he's going Torque Racing. He's going to be running a Pro Light at the next round of the Torque Series. And I got to tell you, that's exciting to me. I mean, you know, we've got McGrath. We've got, you know, you name it. Pastrana's, you know, done Torque now, and McGrath, obviously, you know, sticking with Lucas Oil. I mean, Deegan, Carey Hart, you name it. You know, all these motocross guys are coming over to short course racing. And I think Ricky Carmichael, I mean, he's been sitting in the announce booth for the past year, and it's got to be exciting for him to get back in something with some horsepower. You know, I think, you know, we've talked about this before, but I think short course racing and stadium super trucks and global rallycross, I think they all lend itself really well to these motocross guys. You know, it's an easy way for them to transfer into four-wheel motorsports and be competitive. I think, you know, it's – you know, I know talking with some of these short course guys, I know, you know, let's talk about Lake Elsinore in particular. You know, I call it a supercross course for off-road trucks. Anybody that's been there, seen it, watched it on TV will know what I'm talking about. But I know, you know, talking with Brian Deegan, you know, these guys, it used to be you just go and pin it to win it and, you know, hit the jump and, you know, and just fly. And now these guys literally you know, with these jumps, they're taking some of this motocross knowledge they have and transferring it into the trucks, and has really raised the bar another level. In that you've got guys like Deegan, you know, and you get in the air and, you know, they're braking in the air, they're giving it gas. I mean, they're you know, bringing the nose up, the nose down, you know, so that they can land jumps and land them smoother, you know, and carry speed, you know, off the ramp or other guy, you know, where it used to just be, you know, you just hit it as hard, as fast as you can. And you know, you just hang on for the ride when you're in the air and then land. And, you know, that just doesn't work anymore to be competitive. And, you know, you get through rhythm sections and you see these guys actually, doubling stuff up and, you know, really using, their motocross background to push short course even further. And I think that's what's exciting. And you get guys like Ricky Carmichael, who, let's face it, I mean, you know, he's probably, one of the five greatest supercross or motocross riders in history. I mean, you know, you want to break it down. I mean, I would say Ricky Carmichael, Jeremy McGrath, and then, you know, we get into some guys from, you know, from the 80s and 70s that definitely need to be on the list. And, you know, I'd be willing to say Bill Lapota is going to be on that list sometime too. But, you know, Carmichael, I mean, you know, he knows dirt. He understands lines, cornering. It's going to be exciting to see him in Torque. I'm very excited about that. And mark my words, straight out of the box, Ricky Carmichael is going to contest for podiums. There's no doubt about it. And I think, you know, as of right now, the most I know is this is a one-off race. You know, I think it's a one-off race, but it may – my guess is it's going to turn into a longer-term deal. Let's hope, because Ricky Carmichael in off-road racing is always going to be a good thing. So speaking of Torque, you know, they were in action in Chicagoland this past weekend, the 19th and 20th. And I got to tell you, this is this has become one of my favorite short course races of the year. It's just a great track there, and I think last year it was just huge. I mean, and it seems like the past 2 years, none other than Travis Pastrana has showed up to run here, and that makes things even more interesting when you get Travis Pastrana thrown into the mix, because we all know Pastrana, he brings his A game to anything. Going to pro buggy. Luke Johnson taking the win. Andy Zipper second. Steve Creeman in third. Scott Schwalbe fourth. And Michael Hester in fifth. This is round nine. And I got to say, Luke Johnson, man, this kid's been an animal this year. And, you know, I said at the beginning, he's definitely got to be in the running for the Short Course Driver of the Year award that Dirt Sports puts out every year. And I think if at this point in time, if he's not, you know, I think it's going to be tough, you know, because he's in pro buggy, you know, and he's running against, you know, in the running for the Short Course Driver of the Year award against, like, Carl Rennesetter. It's going to be tough for Luke to dethrone Carl, especially being pro buggy versus pro four in the year that Carl had. But I think that Luke's name definitely at this point in time is on the short list of drivers in the running for that award, and rightfully so. He's had a hell of a year in pro buggy. Skipping up to pro light, we had Brad Lovell taking the win, C.J. Greaves in second, Rafael Navarro in third, Randy Eller in fourth, and Mark Kleeman rounding out your top five. Skipping up to Pro 2, and this is the one everybody wanted to know about because none other than Travis Pastrana was involved. But Jeff Kincaid took the round nine win. We had C.J. Greaves taking second, and, you know, we can talk about C.J. Greaves all day long. And, you know, like I said before, you know, him, Mitchell DeYoung, and Sheldon Creed, I mean, those three ones to watch in the future. Bryce Menzies taking the third spot on the podium and taking home the Oakley Bomb Award. He was doing double duty with Global Rallycross this weekend, flying back and forth between Bristol, Tennessee, and Chicago. So he had a busy weekend. Matt Cook in fourth, Chad Horde fifth, and Travis Pastrana down there in seventh place. Skip it up to Pro 4. We had Johnny Greaves taking the win and the Oakley Bomb Award. Ricky Johnson finishing in second. Mark Jenkins in third. Scott Douglas fourth. And Mike Jenkins rounding out your top five. And I got to say, Mark Jenkins, he's having a pretty darn good year in Torque this year, taking home, you know, I don't know what's got into Mark, but the guy is, you know, he's, I don't want to say on fire, but he's got a heck of a run going with these podiums. I mean, taking some wins and, you know, now another third. He's definitely raised his game this year. And, you know, for me, it's pretty exciting to see. Round 10, we've got, let's see here, Pro Light. We've got, I'm getting tongue-tied here. C.J. Greaves taking the win, another win for C.J. And, you know, you want to talk about Short Course Driver of the Year, I think C.J. could be on that list too. He's having a heck of a year, and Sheldon Creed, for that matter. I mean, you know, running Lucas, running Stadium Super Trucks. It's going to be exciting when this Short Course Driver of the Year thing, you know, breaks at the end of the year. Dirt Sports is going to have you know, they're going to have a tough time. I think C.J. Greaves, you've got, you know, Sheldon Creed, you know, we've got Luke Johnson, and we've got Carl Rennesetter. And, geez, I mean, we got to throw Rob Mack in there. He's having a heck of a year. You know, you tell me, you know, what do you guys think, chat board? Who deserves to be on the Short Course Driver of the Year short list? You know, I named four or five right there, and I think all of them have a legitimate shot at taking it home. But, yeah, C.J. Greaves the win, Keegan Kincaid second, Rafael Navarro third, Scott Beauchamp in fourth, and Cam Reimers in fifth. Going to Pro 2, we had Bryce Menzies taking the win. And, you know, I do want to mention that this win came as he was flying back from Bristol. I mean, he didn't have a lot of seat time in this Pro 2 this weekend. And, you know, that makes it even better. Jeff Kincaid taking on second, Chad Horde third, C.J. Greaves in fourth, Rob Mack with the Oakley Bomb Award finishing in your fifth position, Travis Pastrana down there in 13th. Pro 4, Rob Mack taking yet another win. Johnny Greaves in second with the Bomb Award. Ricky Johnson in third. Scott Douglas fourth. Mark Jenkins fifth. And the wild man, Adrian Cheney in sixth. And, you know, we haven't heard a lot about Adrian this year. You know, he's been kind of, I don't want to say sleeping, but he just hasn't had those top finishes and shown the outright speed that that he's known for. But got to tell you, Cheney, you don't underestimate this guy. He can come back and and podium from here on out. You know, he's got that type of speed, and I'm a fan of Adrian. I know he's definitely a controversial figure in short course, and it's only because he drives so darn hard. And anybody that drives that hard, got to respect him. You know, when Chenny's on the course, he's there to win. You know, he doesn't want to finish top five. He wants to win. You know, and to me, that makes him an exciting driver and somebody I root for. So yeah, Torque. I mean, you know, it's been a wild year this year. Other than Pro Buggy, I mean, Luke Johnson, he's just dominating everything. We've got Red Bud coming up from Michigan, August 10th and 11th. That's where our friend Ricky Carmichael is making his debut, and I think be fun to get Ricky on air at some point. That one I'm gonna have to work on, but it would be fun sometime in the next month to get Ricky Carmichael on air. I can't promise you that one. That was gonna be a tough one to land, but we'll go to work on that and see if we can get Mr. Ricky on air. But yeah, we've got Redbud coming up, and I think that's going to be an exciting event for Torque, up there in Michigan. Then we've got Crannon, Labor Day weekend, the big one. Everybody's going to come out of the woodwork to run that one. Obviously, Stadium Super Trucks teaming up with Torque for that. So we're going to have, you're going to have Rob Mack doing double duty. My guess is you're going to have Robbie Gordon doing double duty. And what about Sheldon Creed? You know, is he going to drag the Pro Light back there to Crannon and run his Pro Light? He's going to be there for Stadium Super Trucks. I'd love to see Sheldon take the Pro Light back there and make a run at this World Championship. I think that would be exciting. You know, lots of storylines going into Crannon. That's definitely one to watch. And then Torque, they make their West Coast debut at Prim Off-Road Raceway September 27th and 28th. About 2 hours away in my neck of the woods. And don't forget, back there in March, they had a test and tune there. So these drivers, some of them going to have a little edge over the others, the ones that made the trip out to Prim. So lots of Torque storylines heading into Red Bud and Crannon, that's for sure. And really, these points championships, other than Pro Buggy, it's pretty tight right now. So lots of excitement. The other big one running this weekend, we had Global Rallycross from Bristol. And those of you that watch this on TV, talk about a course. You know, and I know Global Rallycross last year, they got a lot of crap over some of the courses. Some of the courses that they they put together, and not enough dirt and this and that. And I tell you what, Global Rallycross raised their A game this year. They listen to the fans. They listen to the drivers. And these courses they're throwing down, I mean, New Hampshire and Turnaround and Bristol, these it doesn't get any better. I mean, these are amazing, amazing.